Would you turn to the book of Psalms, please? Psalm 34. We've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling The Fear of the Lord. The Fear of the Lord. And the more we get into it, the more I see that it is the Lord's direction. And timely. He knows what we need when we need it. And if you've read the scriptures much, you have come across the phrase, the fear of God, the fear of the Lord. And I think that in our circles, Word of Faith circles, some folks have been a little bit standoffish with that just simply because of the word fear. Because we have learned that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, right? And so we have been taught wonderfully and learned to resist fear and give fear no place, and how that fear, your fears will come on you. I mean, we've heard a lot about that, and that's good. But you got to rightly divide. All the scriptures are true, and they don't contradict. And so what does it mean, the fear of God? We know from the context, that's a good thing. And so we need some mind renewal. Right? How many want to learn about the fear of God? Yes. We want to know what God wants us to know. Yes. About this, and walk in it in a way that honors Him and pleases Him. In Psalm 34, in about verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps round about who? Them that fear Him, that fear the Lord. And they're not just there. They deliver them. The angel of the Lord encamp round about every person on the planet. Well, does every person on the planet fear the Lord? No, they don't. So this reason alone, it should make you want to learn about the fear of the Lord. Verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for there is what? No want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. I mean, that's what we're talking about in the offering, right? But who does this work for? Those who fear the Lord. Verse 11, come ye children, hearken to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Is this something we need to learn?
Yes.
Need to know about?
Yes, sir.
Obviously. So the fear of the Lord can be taught. And if it can be taught, it can be learned. Right? Everybody said out loud, Lord, teach me. About the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Go to Proverbs, the first chapter. We had mentioned this, and if you haven't been with us, go online, faithlife.org, and go to the Word Supply, and all of the previous messages are there. No charge, no cost. We've already laid some foundation. It would benefit you to get that, because we're building on that today. Proverbs, the first chapter, one thing we got into already is you can help define what something is by seeing for sure what it's not, or seeing the opposite of it. And here in Proverbs 1, you see that. Proverbs 1 in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's where it starts. Not at school. Nothing against school. I'm not against school. I'm just saying without the fear of the Lord, you still won't get it. You can go to any school and every school, and you might get a head full of stuff, but it won't be real knowledge. And it won't be real understanding. And it certainly won't be godly wisdom. It starts knowing things that matter begins with what? The fear of the Lord. You don't even get started unless and until you show the Lord the proper reverence and respect and honor. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools do what?
Despise.
They despise wisdom and instruction. So here you see an opposite of the fear of the Lord. What is it? Despising. And this is Revelation. There's so much here if you just get that one word. A person, a group, a city, a country that has no fear of God is one that despises His words, despises His church, His spirit, His things. And one who fears the Lord doesn't despise it. It's precious to you. It's valuable to you. In Proverbs 13:13, he said, "Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. But he that fears the commandment shall be rewarded." Why would you fear the commandment? Because you fear God. He's the one who said it. Now, the fear of God includes just what you think fear means. Fear. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God without Jesus. That ought to terrify you. Dying, lost, should terrify you until you run to Jesus. Are y'all with me? You run to Him and you show Him the proper respect and you confess and acknowledge that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you bow your knee to Him and show Him respect. Then you got nothing to fear. Hallelujah. You're saved. Your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Headed for glory. But to be opposed to God, to side in with His enemies, to be disrespectful, to blaspheme, you're an idiot. You're a fool. And you're headed to hell.
Yes, sir.
Well, that seems harsh. Hell is harsh. We don't do anybody any favors by playing with these things and acting like they're not real or there's no big deal. The fear of the Lord is a big thing. The reverence of God, treasuring Him, valuing Him. Go with me, if you would, to, I guess it's 1 Samuel, is that what it is? Thank you. Yeah, 1 Samuel. It's the words that's up over the platform here. 1 Samuel 2:30. Go there, please, and let your eyes rest upon it. He was, the Spirit of God was reproving Eli, who was the high priest, for allowing his sons, the Bible called them sons of Belial. They had sex with everybody they could in the congregation. They stole the offerings. They just, you know, had no integrity about them. And the Lord tried correcting Eli, and He wouldn't stop them. And acted like He couldn't. And finally it got to this point where He said, the Lord God of Israel said, "I said indeed that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me. Now let's just stop right here. So God said, I said that I chose you, I chose your family, and that your descendants would serve after you perpetually. But he said, not now. Did God change? No. They broke the covenant. Can you see that? And he can't condone and bless their rebellion and their blasphemy and their defiance. And they're stealing the people's offerings and treating them terribly. And he said, be it far from me now, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me, there's that word. What will he do with them? They shall be lightly esteemed. Now there's revelation here, and I saw a little bit of this in times past, but in the last few weeks, being on this series, I see this much stronger and further than I've seen it before, and you and I need to make some adjustments. Are y'all okay?
Yes.
It has to do with how we see things and our witness, how we interact with others about these things. This is something you need to know about God. He will treat you the way you treat him. Now see, that almost doesn't sound right to people. Read the verse. Are y'all with me? What did the Lord say? Those that honor me. What's that going? I mean, he uses the same word. You honor me, and what did God say? I'm going to honor you. Yeah, but what if you don't? Will you be treated the same? One thing we said, the word despise, in our modern vernacular, we see that word almost as detest, that you detest something. But that's one degree of despising. Actually, the root words here, the word for honor is the word that means heavy. And the word for despise is the word that means light. And you even see, what does he say the last phrase? Lightly. Lightly esteemed. One degree of despising is that you just ignore it, which is treating it like it's nothing, treating it like it doesn't matter, treating it like you can take it or leave it. That is despising. When God tells us something, we should not treat it like we can take it or leave it. Now the truth is, we can take it or leave it. He will let you ignore him. He will let you reject it. But you're a fool if you do. If we have a proper fear and reverence of the Lord, we don't treat what he says as take it or leave it. We treat it with respect. And we honor it. And he said, if you do that, what? I'm gonna honor you. In fact, if you look at other scriptures like in the Proverbs and other places, you'll find that whatever you value reveals your value. Are y'all awake? Whatever you praise, whatever you make a big deal out of, whatever you value and esteem highly, reveals your worth, your value. People who value evil things are evil people. People who value holy things are holy people. People who value good things are good people. Can you see this or not? God will treat you the way you treat him. Nothing could be more fair. I said, nothing? Because who determined it? You did. Right? You did. I mean, that's the way he does with our giving. And when we say giving, a lot of times our thought goes to money. He didn't just say giving money. Giving anything. Everything. Give. It'll be given to you. What? Good measure. Press down. Shaking together. Running over. Shall men give to your bosom? He goes on to say, for with the measure you meet, that's how it'll be measured back to you. God didn't decide it. You did. Huh? And if you want more coming in, you can do it. Can you see this? If you say, well, I don't have enough friends, sow some friendship. Huh? I'm serious. People are mean to me. Well, quit sowing meanness and sow some kindness. I'm serious. Nobody will stick with me. Well, sow some loyalty. Sow some. I'm telling you, everything works this way, and God has left it up to us. And people that are mad at God are, they just don't understand, or they're not listening, because he has put it in our hands. We are reaping today what we've sown in the past. Good and bad. And if we're smart, and I just pastor smart people. You should say amen. You should be waving your hand going, that's right. That's right. That's me. Huh? If you're smart, you will stop sowing bad stuff. Right? And you will speak crop failure over stuff you have sown in the past. You say, Lord, forgive me. I'm repenting, and I'm asking you, cause that to go away, you know. I'm asking for mercy. And then you will increase sowing good things, which includes respect, honor. Hallelujah. Somebody say thank you. I want you to look at it again. How will the Lord treat you? Now see, the reason I didn't hear a rushing the way you treat him. I didn't hear that. Because that's not what's been taught in church. People said, oh no, Brother Keith, we live in the age of grace. How does that change the scripture? How does that change? Does that change God? No. It changes our access to him, our covenant. But people have either said it or implied that no matter how you act or what you do, you're going to be blessed the same as everybody else, at least ultimately. That's not true. I said that's not true. That's not God. It's not even fair. I said it's not fair. Huh? That people that honor God and are willing to sacrifice and are willing to obey, and people who ignore God and haven't got any time for him and even blaspheme him get the same thing as the people who honor God? No. That's not fair. And God is fair. I said he's fair. He's right. Said out loud, those who honor him, he will honor. Those who despise him will be lightly esteemed. Now that word lightly esteem, that's where we get our word, you know, English, estimate or value. You treat God's things like they don't matter. You will be treated like you don't matter. I know people don't like that. But it's the truth. It's happening whether you like it or not. And it's right. It's fair. In the end, those who have rejected God are going to be thrown away in the lake of fire. They're going to be removed. from contact with us and God. I don't want blasphemers living beside me. Huh? That'd mess heaven up. Right? Rebellious people don't love God and reject God. They are going to be, you know, listen to the parables that Jesus gave and then the revelation that he gave. He said the angels are going to go and they're going to take out the wheat and the chaff. Yes. And they're going to separate them. Yes. And the chaff's going to be burned up. Yes. Well, if that was valuable, it wouldn't be burned up. They're not going to hell because they're valuable. Yeah. The proverb says the heart of the wicked is worth nothing. Did y'all hear that?
Yes.
But see, that's not what's taught. People are taught everybody matters. Everybody's important. Everybody's got good about them. And God loves everybody. He didn't love Esau. Y'all okay or not?
Yeah.
Look in Romans. Or you can just put it up on the screen. Romans chapter 9. We need to separate religion from God's word. Huh? We need to separate reasoning from revelation. You and I need to examine everything we believe and bring it back to the word.
Yeah.
Right? Everything you believe, why do I believe that? Where did I get that? What is it based on? In Romans, the 9th chapter and the 13th verse. Romans 9:13, it said, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
Wow.
Did God say that?
Yes.
Yeah. Was Esau the last one that God didn't like? People say, well, God loves everybody. He so loved the world that he gave Jesus to pay for the sins of the world for everybody. Is that exactly the same as him loving everybody's heart that's full of evil? Now, I know you need to meditate on this, and you should. But did I just read scripture?
Yes.
How will God treat you? If you honor him, he's going to honor you. Right? If you despise him, are there a lot of people who despise him in this world? Oh. Blasphemers who curse and revile the things of God. I mean, you didn't hear it as much even 50 years ago as you do today. But people say stuff that you just, it makes you cringe. You go, do you not have enough sense not to say that? Making fun of Jesus? Making fun of the cross? Making fun of the blood? Well, if you're doing that, you despise God. You have no fear of God, or you wouldn't dare talk that way. You wouldn't act that way. And if that's your heart, you are not worth much. And you will be treated, from God, you will be treated like you're not worth much. You will be lightly esteemed, treated and esteem considered of little. Understand, you couldn't, judgment couldn't throw people in hell if they were really valuable. Now, I know you're going to have to think about this. But again, if you think, I believe something different, what is that belief based on? What scripture is that belief based on? Otherwise, it's just your opinion. Now notice in Luke, the 9th chapter. And this is what I'm talking about. You and I need to make an adjustment in some areas. And you just prayed just a moment ago, Lord, teach me about this. Right? I'm not talking about becoming hard. and mean. I'm not talking about not being compassionate, because for one thing, we don't know people's hearts.
That's right.
So even if God already knows they're not going to repent, we don't know that. So we treat them, you know, like as long as there's breath, there's hope.
Yes.
Right? Right? And we want to give them another opportunity. And it's true. Even if you have been a vile, wicked heart person, you can repent.
Yes.
You can be saved.
Yes.
And you can become valuable.
Yes.
Important. Something significant to God and to other people. But if you don't, if you reject God, you are not going to be okay. You're not going to be okay. And you are not important. And you are not valuable if you reject God. Now, that's not normally something you hear in church. I know. But what does the scripture actually say? In Luke 9, the Lord pointed this out to me. That's one reason I'm talking to you, because he talked to me about this. And when he did, I sat back in my chair and I thought, okay. I'm going to preach this, right? I told Phyllis last night, I said, pray for me. I want to get it right. I want to get it right. Right. And the Lord is helping us. And this is something he pointed out to me about this. Luke 9 and 1. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Luke 9 tells when Jesus sent the 12 to ministry. And then the next chapter, Luke 10, is when he sent the 70. So similar and yet with a different group. He called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. In the King James, where it says devils, is actually the word for demons. There's just one devil and many demons. To cure diseases. Keep going. Let's read the next few verses. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Let me just stop here. The most important thing you will ever do in this life and for eternity is to respond correctly to God's words. It determines your entire life down here now and your eternity. What's the primary directive of the church? Go into all the world and what? Proclaim, preach the good news to everybody. And then what? Well, then it's up to their response. Is that right? He that believes and is baptized will be saved. What about those that don't? They won't be saved. They will be condemned. They will be judged. Why? They despised the gospel. So they will be despised. They rejected the gospel. So they will be rejected. Unless they repent. Right? This is something so wonderful about God. Have you read in the book of Revelation where he was talking about, he said, that woman, Jezebel, that false prophetess that seduces my servants with this and that. And he talked about what judgment was going to come on her. And I mean, she was going to be destroyed and everything around her. And then he said, unless they repent. Whoo! Somebody said, you ain't saying Jezebel could be saved. He said it. He said it. The biggest thing with every human being on the planet is your response to his words. It determines what kind of life you're having now. And it determines where you spend eternity. Aren't you thankful that you heard the gospel and you had enough sense and grace to go, this is good. This is right. I need this. And receive it and believe it and call on the Lord and be saved. You can get everything else wrong and you'll still be okay in the end. But if you stick up your nose and you say, I've got 3 degrees and I don't fall for all this religious junk, I don't need the crutch of religion, and you march yourself out, you are lost and you are cursed. And your future is not heaven.
That's right.
And not God.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Whether you receive it and honor it, mm-hmm. or whether you despise it, treat it like it's nothing,
yeah.
and reject it, that determines your value.
Yes.
Now, God valued you enough to pay for you.
Yes.
Come on, can you see this?
Yes.
And redeem you. No matter how bad the sin, or for how far or how long, but you know what comes next is how you value yourself. I'm actually quoting scripture. I don't know if we'll get there today on this or not, but it's you deciding if you're valuable enough to be saved.
Yes. Hallelujah.
God's already made his choice.
Yes.
He wants you.
Yes.
He bought you.
Yes.
He paid for you. But he won't make you respect him.
That's right.
He won't make you show honor. He won't make you believe. He won't make you receive. So you can judge yourself unworthy of eternal life. That's a quote from the book of Acts. Somebody say, not me, not me, not me. You want to agree with him. He said you're worth saving. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, say it out loud. I am worth saving.
I am worth saving.
And I am saved.
And I am saved.
Mm-mm-mm. Keep reading. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. This is the thing I was talking about earlier, that the Lord quickened to me. This, you hear the phrase, the grace of God, a lot in these days. And you really, you know, as long as it's in the right way, you couldn't hear too much about it. But the grace of God is God stooping way down and saying, let me save you. I have saved you. And the way he does it is through what the world calls the foolishness of preaching. That's what faith comes by. That's how he does it. And so that's why he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But we want to increase our respect and reverence for the gospel. And realize when God is offering the gospel to somebody, it is such grace. It is, he's saying, today is the day of salvation. While there's an opportunity, while there's time, don't be lost. Don't die without God. Huh? Come. Come and receive me. This should be seen as one of the most precious things in existence. One of the greatest, kindest favors. So anybody that despises this doesn't have a good heart. And they are, you know, does God owe them this? No. Does he have to have them for him to carry on and finish his kingdom and plan? No. But he's saying, be a part of me forever. Let me bless you. Let me help you. Let me make you into something you never dreamed you could be. Let me do exceeding abundantly above with you. Let me. And if you thumb your nose at that and you say, I don't need it. I don't need you. I don't need that church junk.
Oh, no.
You just showed you're not valuable. Because you despised your own salvation and judged yourself unworthy of being saved. And if you don't change, you'll be treated that way.
Yes.
And eventually bundled with the other chaff and thrown into the lake of fire.
Yes.
With the devil and his crew. And then you truly don't matter and won't matter. Now keep reading. Verse 3. He said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, scrip, bread, money, neither two coats apiece. He was going to teach them about how to live by faith. Keep going. Whatever house you enter in, there abide, and thence depart. In other words, don't keep going house to house trying to get a better deal.
There you go.
Keep going. And whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, beg them. Huh? Beg them. Please. Stand out in the street and cry. And say, please receive Jesus. If you do, you misrepresent him. This was the adjustment I said we need to make. What did he say do? You go to a place. You're not there to take anything from them. You're not asking them for anything. God sent you because he loves them. Because he's already paid the price for them. And so by faith, you tell them that God loves them. You tell them what Jesus has come and done for them. You tell them how he hung on the cross and was made sin with their sin so they wouldn't have to go to hell, so they could be saved, and how he was raised from the dead for their justification, and he's getting ready to come back and receive us all to himself. And if they say, shut up, you ignorant preacher. We're educated around here. We don't believe in all that garbage. We don't need all that useless crutch of religion. We don't believe all that creation myth and all that, you know, resurrection stuff. We don't believe all that. Then what did he tell them to do?
Shake the dust.
What did he tell them to do?
Shake the dust off.
You say, okay, I understand. And you walk away and you get a little distance out and you say, I told you. You didn't listen. Your blood's on your own head. Did Jesus say this or not? Have we done this? Huh? We hadn't done that. keep reading. They departed and went through other towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Skip down to the 10th chapter. This is when he sent the 70, 10 and 1. Luke 10 and 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Let's keep going. He said, the harvest is great. The laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Keep going, going. Several verses here. I send you as lambs among wolves. Don't carry the purse, the scrip, same as the other. Go by faith. Into whatever house you enter, the first thing you say is peace. The first thing you do is tell people the good news. You don't start talking judgment first. Huh? Peace. Keep going. If the Son of Peace is there, your peace will rest upon it. If not, it'll turn to you again. Will he make them receive you?
No.
If they're of a mind to receive you, not only will something that God put on you minister to them, some of it will stay with them when you leave. Well, come on, can you see this? But no, if they don't respect it and they don't respect you, it will boomerang. It'll come right back to you because there was no place for it to land. There was no place for it. Can you see this? That's what the Bible says about the curse. Like the swallow flying around, the curse causeless won't land. If there's no place for the curse to land in your life, it can't sit on you. But if you receive it, the blessing stays on you and does not leave. Keep reading. Keep reading. In the same house, stay, like we're eating and drinking such things as they give, and not always asking for something special.
Yeah, that's good.
Uh-oh, that didn't go over good.
No, that's good.
Huh? Not always asking for something that's not on the menu. Huh? Eat what everybody else eats. Well, that went over big, didn't it? I can't eat that because you say you can't. God can heal us of anything. Yeah, that went over big, didn't it? The labor is worthy of his hire, and don't go from house to house. Keep going. And into whatever city you enter and they receive you, again, eat such things as are set before you. Look at your neighbor. Help them out. Say, eat. What's put in front of you? Now, depending on where you travel in the world, you may need to believe God. But I've been there. But even if you don't eat all of it, huh? You don't have to ask for special treatment all the time. Right? And you don't have to say something that's disrespectful of people's kitchen, their culture. Huh? Whatever city you enter. Verse 9. Heal the sick that are therein and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. When they're hearing the gospel and they're seeing the word confirmed with signs following, healings, deliverances, miracles. This is the grace of God. Huh? Because have these folks that they're going to minister to, have they acted in such a great and fine way that they deserve this? No. The wages of sin is death. They deserve to be judged and go to hell. Just like any of us before we received him. This is the grace of God. This is God reaching down. So far down. Is that right? And choosing and anointing and gracing gifts and sending them and saying, give them the life-giving gospel, the life-saving gospel. Give it to them. And then he's saying, and I'm confirming what you're preaching. That should be respected. That should be honored. It should be believed. It should be received. It should be treated with respect. Keep reading. Keep reading. But into whatever city you enter and they don't receive you. If you read, I believe it's Matthew's account, said they don't hear your words and they won't receive you. Then do what? Then stay and beg them. So we have thought that's what you're supposed to do. Stay and beg them. Stay and plead with them. Now see, that's misrepresenting God. That's acting like the gospel is not as important as it is. It's acting like you got the prerogative to take it or leave it. No, you don't. Not and be saved. Huh? No, we're misrepresenting the gospel to act like people can just spurn it. They can just ignore it. They can cuss and blaspheme about it. And they're still going to be okay. They're not going to be okay.
That's right.
And they're not going to always have opportunities to hear it.
That's right.
And to receive it. It is the gift of God.
Yes.
Come on, I want you to think about when you heard the gospel and you got saved. And you got born again. Was it a happy day? Was it the grace and goodness of God? You could have died before that. And most of us didn't receive the first time we heard it. Idiot. Huh? And God in His grace told us again. And again. And He gave us another opportunity. And we didn't wait till it was too late. We received. We showed some respect. We believed. But if people don't believe, they don't receive, they reject it, we're not supposed to go, well, bless your heart, you know, you'll have another 10,000 opportunities. They may die before the day's out. You do not know this. What did He say do? Put it back up. Exactly what He told the 12. Go your ways out into the streets of the same. On your way leaving town. Huh? You stop and you say what? Even the very dust of your city that cleaves on us, we're wiping it off against you. He said to do it as a witness against them. You say, okay, all right. Because they told them to leave, basically. I'm leaving. But I just want you to know. I told you. God told you. Notwithstanding, you can be sure of this. The kingdom of God came to your town. It was right here. You had an opportunity. And if they didn't repent when they're screaming at the judgment seat and they're about to go into hell, they cannot say, I never had a chance. It was not fair. You did have a chance. And you despised it. In many people's case, they had 1,000 chances. Is that right? And they despised every one of them. And sometimes got harder and harder every time. And they made fun of it. And they mocked it. And they cussed it. Judged themselves not worth saving. He said, verse 12. I say to you, it'll be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Now, he's still talking about Sodom's judgment, and it had been centuries since Sodom existed. But all the people of Sodom, their spirits still exist. And there's coming a day when cities will be judged, areas will be judged, peoples will be judged. Based on what? What they did or did not do with His words. Can you see this? Whether they honored Him and showed Him respect or whether they despised Him. Keep reading. He said, woe to you. Then once He said that about that city that they would be leaving, he branched out to other places and cities. He said, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Now these would be towns like we might say Springfield, Harrison, cities that they knew about. If the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Zidon, which have been done in you, They would have a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. See, God's grace to anoint people and send them and have the preaching of the gospel and have healings and miracles and deliverances, if you spurn that, if you ignore that, if you reject that, you have judged yourself unworthy of being saved. Keep reading. Keep going. Verse 15, let's go. You, Capernaum, you're exalted to heaven, but you will be thrust down to hell. Why? Verse 16. He that hears you hears me. Notice this next word. He that what? Despises you, despises me. How many times people have despised preachers? Huh? Not realizing if Jesus called them and anointed them and sent them? Oh no, their biggest problem is they're like you. They don't know everything. They've made mistakes. But if he called them and anointed them and sent them, you disrespecting them, Jesus takes it personally. That you did it personally to him. Isn't that what he said to Saul on the road to Damascus? Why do you persecute me? And Saul goes, who are you? He didn't realize he was doing this personally to Jesus because he was doing it to his ministers and to his people. Read the rest of it. Was it verse 16? And he that despises me despises him that sent me, which is the Father. Is this important?
Yes.
It is so important. Go to Acts. Let's see. Acts 13. I know you're going to need to think about this and pray about it, as you should. But we don't want to misrepresent the Lord and leaving people with the idea that they can take this or leave it. And they'll be okay either way. Or people will say, well, you know, I actually had a relative one time ask me, so talking about gods in another country where he had been working. He said, well, isn't one about the same as the other? I mean, y'all wind up at the same place? No. No. Hell is not like heaven. They're not the same place. There is only one God. I said, there is only one God. One God, creator of the heavens and the earth. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Only one God. Only one Savior. Only one. Jesus. Yeshua. The Christ. Head of the church. Only one. Nobody gets to God, gets to the Father, except by Jesus. Nobody. He said it, I believe it. There's salvation in no other name. Somebody said, what about all the people that believe in this God? Lost. This other God, lost. Yeah, but you're talking about billions of people. Lost. That stuff can't be true and the Bible be true. They're both not true. If he said one way, one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. It's either true or it's not. Are you glad that Jesus is your Lord?
Yes.
Whew. Are you glad you're not a foul-mouthed idiot?
Yes.
Blaspheming God and being his church. And we ought to thank God all day long. Is that right? And all night long. And go, oh God, thank you. Thank you. Can you give me just a few more minutes here? I'm not quite done. Acts 13 and 40. Paul is preaching the gospel in the synagogues. And you know, everywhere he went, he had revival and riot. he had both. And in Acts 13:40, he said this, beware. And you can see why the Spirit of God said this through him, because just in a couple of verses, they're going to do the very thing he's warning them not to do.
Yeah.
Yes. Beware lest what comes on you that's spoken of in the prophets. Verse 41. And he quotes scripture. Behold, you what?
Despisers.
And wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe. No way will you believe it, though a man declare it to you. Verse 42, keep reading. When the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And in the synagogue, the leaders had asked Paul to come up and share. That's why he's there talking about this. And everything's great. And they all went out and had Sunday dinner, and it was a great day. Or Sabbath, I should say. When the Gentiles said, we want to hear some more of this next Sabbath. So they're respecting it. Verse 43. When the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. They were so stirred up and excited about it, they followed them.
Yeah.
They're tagging along behind them. And when they stopped and said, well, what you need? They said, can you tell us some more about that?
Wow.
Tell us some more about this Jesus. And so they did. And verse 44, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Is God moving in this place?
Yes.
Just in a week. Verse 45. But when the Jews saw the crowds. And they ain't never had a crowd like this. They ain't packed out the synagogue. Three generations. Grandpa couldn't do it. Daddy couldn't do it. They were filled with what? Excitement. And thank God that there was a move in the city. No, they should have. They could have. They were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming, which is dishonest. If they had really not believed and agreed with what they had said, they'd have stood up last Sabbath and said something. It wasn't a doctrinal disagreement. It was that the crowd was too big. But see, they tried to make it like, no, he's preaching false doctrine. And you just decided just today when you saw the crowd that it was bad doctrine. And they did what? Contradicting and blaspheming. Now let's just stop right here. They think they're talking bad about Paul. Who sent Paul? What did Jesus say? If you receive whom I send, you receive me. If you despise them, you despise me. Keep going. Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. I want you to notice what they didn't do. They didn't say, oh, please, please, you got to believe. You've got, They said, it was necessary that the word of God at first be spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. You see where I got that? Oh, friend, you got to see this now. Somebody says, why would a God who is love send people to an awful place like hell? He didn't. They did. They sinned themselves. Did God judge them not worthy of being saved? No. He so loved the world. Can you see that? He sent what was necessary to save everybody. Anybody. But they judged themselves unworthy of everlasting life. And so he said, we're going to the Gentiles. They like it. So bye. That's it. They were done with them. Are y'all listening? Are y'all okay? Let me see. I'm not quite done here. Keep going. Verse 47. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I've set you to be a light of the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard it, they were glad. No cussing and fussing over here. No blaspheming over here. And they glorify. Oh, what did they do? Come on, what'd they do? They glorified the word of the Lord. They said, this is the greatest thing we've ever heard in our life. This is the word of the living God. It's the word of God. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. There were people, a lot of people got saved. And the word of the Lord is published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women and chief men of the city, raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, still mad because the crowd was too big. Now you're laughing, but see, is that a good heart? That's not a good heart. The heart of the wicked is worth little. One translation said worth nothing in Proverbs. They're not good people. People say, well, you know, they're a good person, but they'll lie to you. They'll steal from you. Don't turn you back. That's not a good person. People like to imagine everybody's good. No, they're not. Because people say, well, you know, everybody's good enough to be saved. God thought so to provide the redemption. But will everybody be saved? No. Because people judge themselves. Not worth saving. And they raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. They deported them. And verse 51, what'd they do? Huh? They cried. And they pled with them. Please, let us come back and preach to you again. No, what'd they say? They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They said, okay, you don't want us? We are done with you. You reject it? You judge yourself unworthy of eternal life. They shook off the dust of their feet against them. And they came to Iconium. I'm almost done. Go to Acts 18. And I think this is it. Thank you for helping me today. Believe with me to get this right. This doesn't mean you become hard. Doesn't mean you become mean. Huh? We want to see people saved. Right? But we don't want to misrepresent the Lord. And act like people can treat the gospel any way they want to, and they'll still be okay. Because they won't. Or like you're going to have endless opportunities to receive the gospel. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Is that right? Don't put it off. Have you ever noticed? You have never lived a day in yesterday. You have never lived in tomorrow. And you never will. The only place you have ever lived is now. Today. And that's the only place the opportunity is. Acts 18 and 4. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks, somebody say, mercy. For God to keep sending the gospel. Is it mercy? Is it grace? Is it God stooping down? Huh? Verse 5. When Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit And I believe we're going to see more of this. I have the sense, and I believe now I speak by the Spirit of God, that we're coming into a time of signs and wonders.
Amen.
We're coming into a time of greater manifestation, for we are in the last days.
Amen.
And time is short, and time is running out. And you heard about our brother Jesse's experience. There will be more who will have such experiences. And they will, those who have died and come back, are those who were transported. And there will be more talk about heaven. And there will be more revelation about heaven. And there will be signs. And there will be wonders.
Amen.
That will get the attention of many.
Yes.
And there will be those who were scoffers and blasphemers. And those who persecuted the church, like Saul, who will have an amazing visitation. And they will get saved. And they will become witnesses of the thing they denied and they fought against.
Yes.
For the time is short.
Yes.
And the Lord is coming.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Woo.
Hallelujah. Come on, say that out loud. The time is short.
The time is short.
And the Lord is coming.
And the Lord is coming.
Said he... Silas and Timotheus came. Paul was pressed in the spirit. Verse 6. And when they opposed who?
Themselves.
Now see, they thought they're fighting against Paul.
Mm-hmm.
They thought they're fighting against this Jesus message. Mm-hmm. This gospel. But the Bible says, who are they actually opposing?
Themselves.
And people that were blaspheming the gospel and the ministry, he said, you judged yourself unworthy of everlasting life. When they opposed themselves and they blasphemed, what did Paul do? Huh? There comes a point where you shouldn't keep pleading and begging. He shook his clothes. He said, your blood is on your head. That means your death.
That's right.
And he's talking about spiritual death. I'm clean. I told you. I told you what God sent me to tell you. And I'm done. And I'm going to the Gentiles. We're having a meeting starting next week. And they want to hear it. They're excited about it. Hallelujah. Does that sound like us or does that sound like us? Stand on your feet, everybody. Oh, lift your hands. Give thanks to the Lord. Give praise to Him. Oh, Father, we worship You. We give You praise. We bless You. We give You thanks. Come on, lift your hands and let's worship the Lord for just a moment. Lord, we worship You. We bless You. We praise You. We glorify Your holy name. Thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You. Thank You, thank You. Thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You. Brother Dave, get you a mic. We don't know who's in the house. We don't know who's watching online. But how many would raise a hand and say, we don't want anybody to leave lost? Nobody. Respect this gospel. Respect this Bible. Respect Jesus. I didn't write this. You didn't write this. Respect it. And you'll find that how you treat Him, He will honor you. He will raise you. He will bless you. Brother Dave, come and lead us in a prayer. Altar workers, come to the front.
Glory to God. Glory to God. What a good word. If you're in here today and you've not received Jesus, well, you just heard a message of the value, and don't despise it. Come and get it today. If you've known Him, He's more valuable now than He's ever been to you right now. I know He was valuable when I walked in, but I think my value came up and up and up. And so let's all raise a hand towards heaven. If you've never been saved, raise that hand towards heaven and pray this out loud with me. Say, Father God, I do believe in You. Thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. I believe that You sent Your Son Jesus
to die on a cross for me, and that you raised him from the dead, and he has paid the full price for all my sins. Jesus, I confess you, Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me, for making me free. I receive you today, and as you help me, I will serve you all the days of my life. Now just thank him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.